We're almost there.
Where'd you guys get the coal?
I think we're through this. Even the best of the
that counts me out. You guys get the big bucks.
Yeah, we get a car.
No, I think
we're okay.
Okay. It is 9. It is 9:20. We will proceed shortly. Where's Mr. Nick?
On his phone outside.
Can you let him know that we're ready to roll?
You make a motion to adjourn.
Okay. Okay. We are now in.
Where'd they go?
Back in session. It's 9:22.
Well, what needs to be done here?
Okay, one second. The chairman would like to see us get this done tonight. I've talked to Mr. Kazmir. He tells us we are close. There are a few other items. So at this point, Mr. Kazmir.
We've now gone through the issues for both units. I'm now moving on simply to the highway unit issues. The first issue with them is their proposed hours of work. I don't know if this is going to be, well, there's two issues. Well, there's one clear issue and then another semi or ambiguous issue. The first clear one is the meal periods that they're going to be provided. They currently only get a 30-minute lunch break. For some reason, it says in this it would be a 30-minute to 1 hour, depending on departmental needs. I don't know why you would force somebody to be at work for a full hour more or half an hour more when they've always had half an hour lunch breaks. The second issue deals with just their general hours of work. There's nothing in here that states that their normal hours of work are going to be from 7 to 3:30. That's what it's always been at the highway. The contract says that the hours of work starting times can be between 4 and 7 a.m. each day with proper notice to the employees. However, there's nothing in here that talks about that. Nothing talks about just a normal work day. This is what people should expect to come in. Based on that, I guess somebody should be told, I need you at 2 a.m. I'm calling you an hour before then. I need you to come in. I would ask that the normal work day be put in there. We don't have a problem with 4:10s if that's why the 7 to 3:30 wasn't put in there. We think that'd be a cost savings. We proposed that for two bargaining cycles and just never went anywhere. So we'd like to see the start, the normal start and end time there, or at least the range at which it's normally going to be, along with either an explanation why the 1 hour lunch period is in there or simply make it a 30-minute lunch period. Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Riedel?
30 minutes for a lunch hour is fine. We don't have any objection to that. And so it would be fine.
Mr. Chairman, can I have an opinion?
Countywide, the 1 hour is standard. And so that's why we chose to introduce the flexibility. Once again, Wisconsin Act 10 allows the county flexibility in the standard work week so that we can control costs and more appropriately manage the work. Clearly, the county's department will establish starting times. It's possible that starting times will be seasonal, that in the summertime you would work 7 to 3:30, in which time a different set of hours. Once again, we reserve the right to do that. We will not, as your example provides, be inappropriate or irresponsible with that flexibility. But clearly, there are advantages to and cost-saving advantages to the department. If we can establish a work week of 4/10, whether you accept it or not is immaterial because the law permits us to do it. And some weeks it would be more appropriate possibly to have less length. And if I would like to pitch in on that, if it's okay with you, Chairman Clark, I'd like to let him.
Yeah, again, as Bob indicated, we really just want to keep our options open going forward. We don't want to necessarily define, hard define one or two options for a work schedule. Is anything going to change from what we've got on the table right now today? Is it going to change tomorrow? No. But is it going to make sense maybe for us to consider subgroups or sub-teams within the group to be working different schedules, everybody not be on the same schedule? It may make sense to do that. It may make sense to just, we want to take full advantage of the flexibility that we've got now under the law. So to do anything short of that just would be, I think, irresponsible. That's kind of where we're at.
Supervisor Rose?
I'd like to have a legal opinion on whether this is negotiations or whether this is even the subject of this kind of discussion. This is quite different than policies that we discussed moments ago, the issues of discipline, etc. But when we start getting down to this kind of nitty-gritty, this strikes me as very much like negotiations. And I've never heard of this kind of discussion before in any committee or county board meeting that I've ever been at before.
Corporation Council.
I agree. When I first saw the letter from AFSCME to the county board supervisors, I considered that a lot that was contained within that letter was what I would refer to as backdoor bargaining. Certainly, these are issues that were matters of the collective bargaining agreement. We no longer have the collective bargaining agreement. Then they fall back to management rights. The management sets the hours, sets the various how the work is going to be divided up. That those kind of things, I think, are clearly management. Those were the type of things that were always limited by the collective bargaining agreement in the following paragraphs. And now I believe that management is looking for the opportunity now to step forward and create a work environment that benefits both parties. And it may require that employees adjust to certain changes in hours or whatever while they go through this modernization of the scheduling.
That's so, why I said to you, what more is there left to discuss on the table? I really don't see anything further to discuss on the table. And I appreciate you're trying to do your job as representative of the employees, but in terms of following what the law is, not what it was, what is there left to be discussed here? These types of things I don't see as subject of public policy.
Corporation Council, can you review this list? And my only comment is, if we've had that letter and we've had meetings and I've asked over and over whether we're bargaining or not bargaining, and now I'm hearing this for the first time, I'm disappointed.
The fact is, these issues, and I thought I made it kind of clear before.
No.
We're here. You're here to take suggestions.
Okay.
And those suggestions, you're going to take those suggestions, and you're going to make your decisions based on the agreement that you have within your committee as to what you put in the policy and what you don't put in the policy. And if Mr. Rose makes a note of the fact that some of these things go beyond what the committee is willing to put in policy, then I think that's something that should be discussed.
I mean, he said his question was whether we were bargaining, and you said yes, is different than what the committee is willing or not willing to put in policy. So the question of whether we're bargaining, in your opinion, based on having this discussion, we need to be very clear on it.
The proposed amendments that have been provided by the unions addressed the major issues first for both units. Now that we're getting into each separate unit, I see these issues as things that were clearly subjects of the collective bargaining sessions that we went through. And I believe that at this point, with respect to setting hours and who gets what equipment and these types of decisions, this should be deferred to management for their decision.
Okay. Supervisor O'Day?
I'm inclined to leave that all these items to management. We're only going to be locked into anything they do to the end of the year. And we can review what's been done at that point.
That isn't my point that we can review it. This is just not something for us to decide under the current state of the law. That's my point. And that's why I said to you, what is there left to decide after we talked about these common public policy issues? I don't view what equipment to be a public policy issue. To me, that's something that a manager decides.
I don't disagree with you. It's,
yeah, that's why it's I don't just, dare to spend till midnight here.
Well, I understand you're in a hurry to get out of here, yeah. Supervisor Rose, but I have clearly, and I have this letter here, and some of those issues are in here, and I've clearly asked the question, and for lack of a better word, I'm going to call it blindsided. To hear this right now, after I've been in meetings on this, I'm disappointed. If we weren't going to go there, fine. When we got this list at the beginning of the meeting, these are the things we can talk about. These are the things we can't. So if the opinion is these are inappropriate, then a motion to adjourn is in order.
I move we adjourn.
Second.
I at least put in our 2 cents in the
motion. Sure, I'll let you put your 2 cents in.
Thank you. If this is bargaining, then everything else that we've done the whole entire night is also bargaining. If all I've done is I've said this is what we'd like to see. Now, you guys have disagreed with me on points, and you've disagreed with us on points, and you've agreed with us on other points. There's a difference between bargaining and lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bargaining means that I can do something. If you tell me no, I can take an interest arbitration, I can strike. Lobbying, you can say no, and they hire another lobbyist.
And whether you think these things are management decisions, and the committee can say these are management decisions, and we're done. We don't have to accept any of these things, no different than these proposed amendments.
I think I need to clarify at this point, because I don't want Supervisor Clark to feel as though he's been blindsided. I believe that this committee this evening has taken the high road and taken great efforts to resolve a serious problem and a serious issue that has to be resolved, and is working very hard to do so. And if discussing some of these issues is going to put those issues to rest so that there's no more a dissension among the ranks between the employees and between management and between county board, I'm all for it. And as I said before, if these are proposed and the committee discusses them amongst themselves and makes a decision one way or the other, then that is not bargaining. And I'm sorry if what I'm saying is confusing.
It just comes down to, if we don't deal with these issues tonight, they're coming to the county board, and we're going to have another long night because they're going to be heard. I know there's supervisors out there. They're going to make damn sure they're heard, and I would like to take them, finish them, and I don't think we're that far away. If you want to go down this list and say these are management issues, we shouldn't be dealing them, fine. We don't have to act on these amendments.
Chairman, can we have the committee members decide this? One of the things I'd like to do is under overtime in the second page of policy resolution number one.
Well, first of all, either we are on legal ground to be discussing these items or not. And that was the question that was raised.
There was a motion to.
And it wasn't recognized.
Yes. Well,
I think you have your paper. You continue to be on the.
Okay. So,
get it.
Supervisor Singer.
Okay. Under overtime and the policy resolution number one, I'm discussed with.
Didn't we talk about overtime?
This has to do with just the highway, though, and that's why I didn't bring it up, because the other ones were jointly.
But
they were in common.
Okay.
This has to do with the mandatory overtime.
Time out. We've had a discussion about hours and a 30-minute unpaid lunch break. And I want to finish those issues before we move on. If I heard the administration say hours, 30 minutes, we don't have a problem. And as far as defining a work day, I think we can put that to bed very quickly as well. So currently there's nothing in there relative to hours. The administration said there was no issue with that. Does this committee want to take action on that? Supervisor Singer.
I don't think we should do anything with the hours. I think the administration is right. They have the right to determine what the work hours are, and they need the flexibility in order to do that. And
same thing with the lunch break.
The lunch break, I could care less about.
Okay, does anybody want to make an amendment relative to those issues? Next item.
Next item is the equipment assignment to be awarded based on seniority.
I'm sorry, Supervisor Clark. I would like to offer one amendment, and this is one that has been confusing, and it sounds trite, but I really need to make this one. The work week commences Sunday morning at 12:00 a.m., not 12:01. I know we talked about that at the county board floor the other night, but I have confirmed this with payroll, and the week starts at 12 o'clock.
Okay, is there a move by Supervisor Singer, second. By Supervisor O'Day. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
Okay. Next item, Mr. Kasmer.
The equipment assigned on the basis of seniority. This is a safety issue. It's an intelligent issue. Just let them drive the trucks. They know. Let them work the equipment. They know.
Let me see. Mr. Arbit or Mr. Reed?
A couple of things. There is going to be times where it does make sense to assign a given task based on the type of equipment needed for that and the operator for that specific piece of equipment. There's other times where it's not going to make any sense at all to make that decision based on the seniority of somebody in their particular vehicle they've got. To limit it to that and funnel everything through that mechanism is not the way to do things.
I have a memo here from Supervisor Gail Gintz, and there was some discussion about this, and I think it more or less said that the snow plowing and that operation, pretty much they have their zones and equipment and routes and are pretty much going to assign employees.
Correct.
And from an efficiency standpoint, I can't see management jerking people around with equipment from an efficiency because they're having fun. Or I don't personally see how that is going to happen. You know, that where that's going to be a major problem. Supervisor Eckernes.
I don't see how this is our call to decide what their day-to-day assignments and operations are going to be. That's micromanaging. We're legislators, not managers.
Any other comments? Supervisor Rose.
I can say this. I agree with Supervisor Eckernes, but I think there are a number of items here that fall within the category. These are the kind of things that are important, perhaps, in collective bargaining process, and that's why I raised this issue of Aren't we getting very close to that type of thing? Because these are the kind of things that we discuss.
The Corporation Council has indicated that we're on, that's the opinion.
I don't think we ought to even be discussing these kinds of things like assignment of equipment. That isn't a job for a legislator. I see that the issues of discipline and vacations and those kinds of things, those are broad public policy issues having to do with the basics of work, but not such things as assignment of equipment.
And I don't know that I disagree with you, but one of the purposes of this meeting was to hear the employees out. And I at least want to hear it out.
Much along the same lines, this will come up again at our next meeting. We have our meeting on county board in general. This is going to come up again. So it does serve the purpose to discuss it and have us all at least be informed. This has come up in committee. I pointedly asked Mr. Sipsma about the situation here, and he assured me in no uncertain terms that when it comes to assignment of equipment, the status quo will be maintained for plowing. Very important. Certain person, certain district, certain vehicle. What administration wants flexibility in is when it's not the plowing season and there are different assignments can be made, seniority is not necessarily the best way to do it. So I think we should all be appraised of that and be prepared going forward to understand that.
Anybody wishing to make any amendments relative to the equipment issue? Okay. Next item, Mr. Kasmer.
Next item is overtime, which you guys have already discussed. We didn't really discuss the mandatory overtime. That's something the system works. We'd like to see it continue without the mandatory overtime. What the long paragraph is what was our final offer proposal for how overtime is going to be utilized. The committee already said that there is
so that was your proposal.
That was our proposal and our final offer.
Supervisor Stinger.
My initial inkling was to make the overtime voluntary. However, the department has indicated that they really need it for the snow removal. Is that correct,
yeah.
Mr. Arbiter, the chair? And so what I would like to do as an amendment is to, after where it says a request for overtime is considered to be mandatory, I would like to put for snow removal operations because it needs what they're looking for. Although then it doesn't require mandatory overtime during other hours or other seasons that the employees would be concerned about, you know. So I'd like to make that change.
Is there a second?
For the sake of discussion, I'll second. I'd like your administration's.
Okay, administration, Mr. Riedel, or
yield for Mr. Arbiter.
Yeah, I just want to clarify. It should be snow and ice control.
Okay, that's fine. Snow and ice control operations. I will.
And other emergency weather, right?
Well, in my discussions with Gary, we talked about those other situations. There is a need for, the tornado comes through in the middle of the morning or night. There is a need to get guys out on the road, but it's not a wholesale adventure where we now need to marshal the entire force to get something accomplished. Typically, that's not the case anyway. We haven't been hit with that type of a storm yet. So I think that we're okay, again, for the six-month period to try this, guinea pig this out and see how it works through the end of the year. And if in fact we get hit with another tornado yet this year, or wind shear that creates, well, we may need to modify it. But right now I'm comfortable with the based on the conversation that I had with Gary, this snow and ice control operation.
Okay. And the county executive, he has the ability to declare an emergency. And what does that mean?
That means all bets are off.
All hands on deck.
Okay.
In all departments.
Supervisor Eckernes.
I don't see the administration, highway department calling in people on overtime just to call people in on overtime. It's going to be an emergency. And they shouldn't have to go through five or six refusals before they say, you've got to come in. I'm going to vote against this amendment because I think they need the flexibility. I don't think it's going to be abused. I think the interests of the public far outweigh the needs of the citizens in the community. There are other emergencies beyond snow and ice removal. Trees falling on the road, telephone poles coming down, what have you. You can't go out shopping for somebody that's going to agree to come in. if you're limiting them to mandatory overtime only for certain instances, leave it the way they proposed it.
Supervisor Singer?
Again, we're talking about having language in there. It says that right after that, it says failure to respond to the mandatory overtime may result in discipline. So this brings in the whole discipline argument again that, what you're asking for is really for snow and ice operations, and yet we're expanding it to every aspect and time, of the operations throughout the year. I think it's just overstepping what you're saying the needs are, and we have an agreement with the department. The department head here is saying that it's okay. You know, there's no real disagreement at all with that, and they can work with it.
This is a policy that goes through the end of the year. What's the administration's opinion of this change?
I'm comfortable based on conversations I've had with Gary that we can manage things if we limit it to the snow and ice control. I appreciate what Supervisor Akernes is saying, and again, we have the full toolbox going along what you said, but I feel comfortable still be able to manage the situation with limiting it to the snow and ice control, especially for the 6 month to guinea pig it and see how it goes.
Any other discussion on the amendment? Chairman Molinaro.
I just want to point out to the committee, I'm a little surprised to hear Mr. Arbit take the position he's taking, but I can certainly respect it. I want to point out to the committee, however, that analyze how this goes over this interim. Be prepared to have the administration come back with similar language again. I understand where the Havoc guys are coming from at the same time, but let's not forget that we have had, think about what's transpired in the last 3 years. I have heard more sirens go off, emergency sirens, in the last 3 years than I have my entire life. We have had a tornado in January. We've had flooding. We have had a historic snowstorm. Now, that's covered here under the snow and ice, and I recognize that. We just lost, I couldn't do the math, but we figured thousands and thousands of years of tree growth in this community. Devastating disasters. From the standpoint of needing manpower to get things taken care of. I have confidence in the administration in terms of what they're advocating doing here. All I'm saying is, if you want to go along with the amendment, I'm okay with it. It satisfies both sides at this point in time, but you've got to be prepared to understand that the 10-year storms seem to be happening about every other year.
We're saying 6 weeks. when Chuck and I talk,
100-year storms are happening within 10-year time frames, and this is just the way it works. In addition to the continued growth in our community and the need for disaster, I had a train stop along my house, ran the tracks for over 2 hours the other day, blocking at least Highway E, if not KR, and then further south from me at the same time. Anything can happen that you need to be prepared for. Let's urge the committee to be open to the permanent policy when it comes forward, and at the same time, the guys in the department to work with the administration, understand how this policy is going to be used, and be prepared to modify it if you have to.
Any other discussion on the amendment? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed?
Aye.
So we have, looks like it passes. Roll call. Supervisor Gintz.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
No.
Aye.
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 I thought he took the position of our youth and governance, and you're going to ask him for a vote.
You got a vote?
Wow, we're getting tired here. Yeah, okay, I'll vote.
Okay, what's the next item?
Now move down to the jail-only units. I think it's already been taken care of, but just to make sure it is, on the first page of the policy, in bolded letters, said schedules and working hours are subject to change at any time at the sheriff's discretion. It sounds like the schedule and working hours are not going to change, so I would assume that would be a little bit. If not, all those hours that are up above can be changed.
I think the, although this policy is temporary, it is the framework for what's coming down the road. And you certainly can expect that the final document's going to have that, I would expect. And number two, that the it is more than likely that the schedule is going to change beyond next year. The sheriff has already told us he's not doing anything through the end of the year. Sheriff, you have any other comments relative to that?
As far as the shifts changing, the eye picture changing starting January 1st, exactly what's going to change too. We've come up with a few ideas, but exactly what it is, I'm not going to, I don't know. Could it change? Could their time of shift start half hour one way or the other, an hour? It could, but there really hasn't been any discussion of it. So, but I think that's something that we'll have to find in our. We plan on making huge changes that everybody's going to start them at 10 o'clock in the morning, working until 8 o'clock at night. No, that isn't our goal at all. So,
does anybody have any desire to make an amendment? Next item.
Second one deals with flexing of shifts or hours. We don't have a problem with that. What we would like to see, though, is there's a requirement that that can only be for a 90-day period. If you don't have it for a 90-day period, the stuff you voted on earlier about shift preferences and how seniority governs, well, hypothetically, somebody could be moved to an entirely different shift. Even though they were the most senior person, they could be moved after they posted and then said, okay, we're moving you back. And there's no limit on how long they go back. The purpose of the flexing of the shifts, I think, is generally somebody goes out on A&S or somebody's out for whatever and you need to put somebody on a different shift. We don't have a problem with that. We just want to say it's limited to X period of time.
One second. Anybody from the Sheriff's Department? I don't quite understand this flexing of shifts in the first place.
Flexing of shifts, I think they're perceiving it completely different than the flexing of shifts are. A flexing of a shift is, and I go with patrol because they're currently doing it. We have a snowstorm. Now, the snowmobile unit's going out. I take someone from first shift who works 6 to 2, and I take someone on second shift, both on the snowmobile unit, who's working 2 to 10. And I said, you guys want to come in and work at 10 till 6 to create this snowmobile unit. No one gets paid overtime. You work an 8-hour shift. We just flexed it. What they can also do is if I have enough people working second shift today and day shift is short tomorrow, I can say, does anyone on second shift want to work day shift tomorrow rather than working a second shift tomorrow? So this is 90 days doesn't even play a role in this at all. This is the flexing of shifts for our deputy sheriffs. And again, I go back to the staff is going to love flexing of shifts. Everything that we're going to do, I would be willing to guarantee they're going to say, I like that. But the 90 days, that it doesn't even work in what we're talking about here.
Supervisor.
You talk about like an emergency shift change for somebody. Fred, I'm short on second shift. Someone went on a leave, and I moved Fred from first shift to second shift. That isn't what this is at all. Flexing shift is just changing their hours for a day or maybe two. We're going to actually do it with their cooperation.
Supervisor Rowe?
I don't think we have any basis to decide this factually one way or the other. This is a typical management kind of taking into account what the employees have to say. If this isn't as close as it gets to collective bargaining, I don't know what is here. But I don't see this as something that ought to be before us. This isn't that broad public policy issue that we should be discussing or even should be on our agenda.
We've hit that. Does anybody wish to make an amendment relative to this?
Not an amendment. I just want to ask a question. Are you going to then come up with policies relating to the number of these items? Is that the idea?
Okay. Next item.
And the policy deals with swaps for shift exchanges. It limits them to 10, which actually means 5, and I'll explain that. And it also requires that somebody burns their casual days before they can swap. The reason it's limited to five is if I and Fred swap shifts, Fred agrees to take my shift, that counts as one for Fred as well. So then Fred now loses that ability. So it's really five swaps. This isn't a money issue. And the casual days are the only things that these folks have at the end of the year if they need them for anything.
Mr. Riedel, can you discuss?
That's exactly the problem. The problem is that capitalism, of course, of the evolution of the county have become the ace of spades of time off, and employees use them to take days which are otherwise difficult to take off. And at the end of the year, there's a lot of demand for time off, and those who have casual days are not afraid to use them to the extent that the sheriff has had to declare emergencies during the Christmas season in order to get enough staff to staff the jail and the detention center. And so while we understand swaps and the sheriff is in favor of them and the employees find them a valuable tool, we can't have them using swaps so that they can hold the county hostage for appropriate staffing at times of the highest need.
Is there a fiscal cost to swaps, in your opinion?
Well, they are not to create overtime, but they can be a fiscal cost if casual days you cash in.
Supervisor Eckernes.
I just make the observation that when we said that benefit days would count as time worked, my understanding of that amendment is it doesn't include swaps. If somebody does a swap, they've interrupted their time, and they start over again as far as accumulating their 160 or 171 hours.
So what's your point?
The point is, I'm just making the point that these swaps, if somebody swaps, now they started over again counting their 160 hours to get overtime.
Mr. Starr,
first of all, on a swap, if you and I swap shift, the day that you work for me, you don't get paid for it, I do. So my work week isn't stopped. I still get paid for that day. His just body is there instead of mine. When I repay him back, I work the day for free, he gets paid for that day. So I don't believe it would have any impact on the 160 hours. I'm still getting paid for that work day. Secondly, again, because this is a temporary... temporary policy till the end of the year, I don't believe it's fair that you have people that have used all their casual days already for the year, and you have some people that have saved three or four of them, five of them, whatever. They get sick at the end of the year or whatever. Now in September, we're going to say to them, well, it's nice that you saved your days in case you had an emergency at home. That's all we get for our days. Those casual days are sick days, emergency days. That's what they're for. Because you had the insight to keep those days, we're going to make they're not going to do you any good. Now you have to just use them to use them. That's a cost to the county. Because if I don't use those days and I cash them out at the end of the year, at the end of the year you pay me straight time for those days. If I use that day tomorrow, not only do you pay me for the day, you pay time and a half for someone to work for me. So it actually costs you a day and a half's pay every time I use a casual day. It would behoove the county to want me to, at the end of the year, have all six casual days left and cash them out. Because now you're only paying me for that one day. Makes sense to me.
I couldn't disagree any more than that. Actually, hearing that, it bothers me tremendously. Because if you swap a day now and at the end of the year, when someone is planning to take their Christmas vacation with their family, they're working double shifts for an entire week because these people swapped their frickin' lives away the whole year long, and we got people on the bottom of seniority having to work all of Christmas. This is mind-boggling the way they swap. And what they're trying to do is negotiate a better deal than what the facility down here has. They are doing exactly what is on that piece of paper at this facility down here. They're trying to negotiate what they can do down at the KCDC. And to be able to do this, Captain just told me that in January and February alone, there were over 200 swaps at the KCDC facility. And that's the management is trying to manage this all the time and do this with all these swap and personnel costs. To say it has no cost to the county is absolutely mind-boggling to me.
Just move on.
Yeah, and this is a management tool.
Yeah, I guess all we're asking for is leave it alone until the end of the year.
This is a management tool for the sheriff to run his department. And he's absolutely right. I've experienced this time and time again, which caused him to declare an emergency at Christmas because we didn't have anybody to staff in critical positions in jail because everybody took off because they had swapped their days. And this also adds to the supervisor's burden of approving these swaps and paperwork. When there's that many swaps, it's just, I agree, it's just mind-boggling to run a facility.
This Supervisor Eckernus?
Casual days have been misused and abused since the day we started having them, all those 30 years ago, whatever it is now. And what the sheriff says is absolutely correct. Now, with Act 10, we've got the opportunity to rein in the use. They were negotiated as a way to fill in the gap between when a person gets sick and when he's starting to be eligible for sick leave pay. And they're not used for that. Back then, they have used up by the beginning of February.
Are you making an amendment?
No, I'm making a point. Well, we shouldn't make an amendment.
Okay.
We should leave it alone.
Supervisor,
let's move on to the next item.
Anybody wish to make an amendment?
The sides, okay. And I think we
next
vote.
Item. Okay, so hopefully we can get a list of these items so at least we can hand out to the supervisors on Thursday. And it's my intention to bring those to the county board floor. And then I'm also going to try to have a red line of the changes we made to at least hand out at the county board floor so people understand what we try to accomplish here. Motion to adjourn by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Rhodes. Oh. Mr. Riedel.
I'm sorry, there's a surprise, but Sheriff, there is the need to amend one of the policies on casual days and use of casual days incrementally. I don't know if that was made on the board floor or not, but I know that the casual language in the policy says that they can break up casual days.
So you want it to be in full days? Full days or half days?
Maybe you do half.
To take casual days in half-day increments.
Correct.
Is there an amendment to make that? Is there a motion to make that amendment to the policy?
I'll make such a motion.
Second.
It's been moved by Supervisor Brady, second by Supervisor O'Day. Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion to adjourn by Supervisor Singer, second by Supervisor Rose. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
You're now adjourned. We're done.